Yes, Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, yes, good afternoon. It is Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. And my name is Fayola Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. Today is March 20th, 2015, and we are delighted once again. We are still in the month of March, and we are celebrating Women's History Month. And every week in the month of March, we have had a woman who's our special guest. And this week, we have another wonderful woman who will be our special guest. Her name is Ms. Sarah Fontaine. How are you?
I'm great, Fayola. Thank you so much for having me on. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. And we are so delighted to have you on the show today. Today, we'll be talking about, as we celebrate women of the past, present, and future, we'll also be talking about the journey of finding your purpose in life. As I truly believe that women have so much to offer the world, but sometimes I think the challenge is that we get lost in our different roles. We get lost in what people say we should do. But if we truly, if every woman in the world was truly to live out her purpose in life, it would be amazing the impact that women on a global scale can have in this world. So I'm delighted to have Ms. Sarah Fontaine because she is a native from South Florida. She graduated from Westminster Academy to be a wonderful cane, of course, graduating from the University of Miami with her undergraduate degree. And then she attended American University in Washington, D.C. to get her law degree. And then coming out, she has practiced law in various practices and various specialties. Currently, she is a family attorney. She is a part-time family attorney with her own firm. And she full-time is an independent sales director of Mary Kay. So we are so delighted to have her on the show. She's going to share insight with us about her experience in finding her purpose and passion in life. So, Ms. Fontaine, tell us, what was it like growing up for you and the women that you looked as role models or even the career objectives that you had for yourself?
It was great. I was blessed to have great role models around me. My mother always worked, and she's always been a hustler. I've never known my mother to kind of have only one thing going on. When we were growing up, she was a laboratory technician for a little while when I was very, very young. And then she and my uncle were always starting different businesses. And then I would say kind of around when I was 10 years old, my mom became a pharmaceutical sales rep with a large pharmaceutical company and did that. And so if you know anything about pharmaceutical sales, it's not a quote-unquote regular job. She had freedom and flexibility. And so I think she was very hands-on with her children while also having a great career. And my grandmother was always a great influence in my life. I was raised with my aunts as well, my mother's sisters. My mother has two sisters. And then I myself have two younger sisters as well. So the influence of women in my life has been, I think, very, very strong.
Now, so you had your family as a main to women, but growing up, did you have attorneys in your family? Were you exposed to attorneys? Was it since a child that you wanted to be an attorney? How did you get involved in that goal?
No, I'm actually in my family now. There's probably 7 or 8 attorneys. However, I was the first one.
Wow.
And even my uncle is an attorney, but he went to law school at 50 years old. So as a totally different second career. So I am the first lawyer in my family on both sides, on my mother's side and my father's side, and I certainly did not set out to be an attorney. And truth be told to the audience out there, I went to law school because it seemed like a good idea at the time. My junior year of college, I really was like, I'm not ready to get a job. And, you know, to go to medical school, you actually have to know that in advance. I wasn't good at math, so I didn't want to take the GMAT and get my MBA. I took a practice LSAT, and I did really well. So I said, I think I'll go to law school. And that is the God's honest truth of how I ended up going to law school. And then, you know, one thing led to another. I happened to do well on my LSAT. I got into a top-tier law school. And, you know, from then on, kind of the path unfolded for me. I wasn't necessarily on purpose, if we're talking about finding your purpose. And I think that's how I ended up. You know, when people ask me, how do you leave law to pursue a business like Mary Kay? I don't think being a lawyer was ever my purpose. I think I accidentally fell into it. So as I grew into my own, I developed more of a sense of what I like and what I like to do. and, you know, what I feel that God has put me on this earth for.
Interesting. So growing up, what did you want to be when you were growing up?
I actually wanted to be a journalist. I was a very, I am a very good writer, and I love to read. I used to read. You could put me in a room by myself with books, and I would be happy even if I had no TV, no phone, no computer. And so my thought when I was growing up was always that I would be a journalist, either for a newspaper or a broadcast journalist on television. I had a very great English teacher who is still my great friend today, and she goes to Church by the Glades, actually. Her son-in-law, her daughter Lisa, is the pastor's wife of Church by the Glades. Her name's Mrs. Evans. She was my English teacher in high school, and she was great, and she always encouraged me to be a writer. I was the editor of yearbook, editor of newspaper, all of that good stuff, and even in my first 2 years of college, I was a journalism major, and I thought that that was what I was going to do.
Wow, and so, and not did you, and going to them, what did you eventually graduate with?
I actually ultimately in the middle of, I would say about middle of my sophomore year of college, I switched from being a journalism major to a public relations major. They were both in the School of Communications. And to complete the prerequisites for journalism, you had to complete the prerequisites for public relations anyway.
Uh-huh.
And I decided that I was going to switch to public relations. I didn't want to be a journalist because of Oprah, if you can believe it. So Oprah.
Okay, yeah, talk about that one.
So Oprah,
Oprah, we love you. It's nothing personal.
Say it again.
I said,
no,
Oprah, we love you.
Oprah.
It's nothing
she
personal.
She opened, no, she opened my eyes. I watched an interview with Oprah, and she said one of the reasons she did not like y'all, you know, if you know the story of Oprah, she started out as a journalist as well.
Uh-huh.
And Oprah said, I watched an interview. I mean, I'm talking, you know, obviously 10, 15 years ago, whatever, I was in college. Well, Oprah said, what I didn't like about being a journalist is that you wake up every day looking for the worst thing that can happen so that you can capitalize on it. And that struck me as I think that I don't want to be a journalist either, Oprah, for that exact same reason. And so that is one of the things that really sticks out in my mind when I kind of switched from being a journalism major to being to wanting to focus on being a public relations major. I thought public relations was a little bit more up my alley, and to be honest, I think being a lawyer is public relations as well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of public relations was more of let me help companies and corporate entities and people kind of present their best sides and get out there, market correctly. And to this day, I think that's what I do. And I think that's aligned with my calling. Little did I know I was going to be used in this way, but I like public relations. I like marketing. I like working with people to present themselves in the best way.
Mm. So then you graduated UM, you went off to law school. Now, in law school, what was going through your mind? Because that kind of was something that was out in left field and just came into your lap. What was that experience like?
It was a great experience. I went to an awesome law school again, and God is so good and so faithful. Things unfolded. I got into, like I said, a great law school. When I was at my law school again, great female mentors, great female professors in particular, the director of career and professional development at American University was instrumental in helping me kind of figure out my life path, and I went on to become the director of career and professional development at Nova's law school later on, largely in part due to how much she affected my life. I wanted to have that same impact in law students' lives. But she, you know, I really went to law school. It was great, had a great experience. I will say I think I kind of got caught up in the I really thought I'd go to law school to help people. And not to say that corporate lawyers and large law firm lawyers don't help people, but they don't help people in the way I initially anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
However, what happens when you go to law school and once you get good grades, they start to pigeonhole you as, hey, you could go to a corporate law firm and you could make all this money.
Mm-hmm.
And so once kind of my first semester, second semester grades came out, I was pushed towards big law firm, federal clerkship life. And again, I'm so grateful. I have nothing bad to say about it, but it wasn't something that I chose. It was something that I was pushed towards, and I was like, okay, seems good to me. I like making money. So, So found myself after law school, through contacts I developed law school, I got a federal clerkship, which is very prestigious. Fewer than maybe 2% of law students in the nation graduate from law schools and get federal clerkship, and it's very even lower than that percentage of African-American students. I want to say I was one of the first African-American students to get a federal clerkship out of my law school.
Wow.
And I worked for a great judge for a year in the Eastern District of Virginia, and then I went on for 6 years to be a commercial litigator at a very large law firm in Miami.
Now in the process, and the thing I also want to share as well, as we celebrate, you know, I truly believe in celebrating people of the past. But I also believe that celebrating people, the present and future, because it's one of those things that when we celebrate people and we really show our appreciation of people who have impacted our lives. And as you shared, you said you went to the Nova Southeastern University in their career department because someone did that for you. And it's a value of when women impart in the youth, young women that are to come. So, and someone doing that for you, how are you doing that for others? So we can also celebrate the women of the future.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm passionate about. And that's actually kind of how you and I got connected through your 360 program. I really love the idea of that program. And I've always been consistently, for example, I'm on the board of the Black Alumni of the University of Miami. I quite often go down and do talks and panels with the women and young men, young women and men that are at the University of Miami now. Same thing with my law students, also passionate through Mary Kay of mentoring women of all generations, right? Even though I may be in my mid-30s, I think I have a perspective that's able to mentor women in their 50s and 60s. I was sitting with one of my consultants the other day, and she's having issues with her daughter, and she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, well, this is what I would think if my mom said this or did this, you know? And so I think it's important to be mentored. I'm so grateful for the women that have mentored me, whether in Mary Kay, out of Mary Kay, just in life and my family, and to continue to give back and to impart wisdom of anything I've learned that could be helpful to someone, because, you know, I think it's great if people don't have to learn the hard way necessarily all the time by going through it themselves.
And the other interesting thing is that, you know, especially the older generations, they're like, you know, you find a career path, you do it for 30, 50 years, you retire from it, that's it. But for my generation, and those behind us, it's something where longevity is not necessarily in the profession. Longevity is in the process of finding who we are. So you growing up, you thought you were going to be a journalist. Then you went to school. You went to college. You thought you were going to do journalism. You changed to PR. Then you went to law school. And you practiced law for a couple of years. You're still practicing, but kind of shifting into a different path. Now, can you talk to us, because I think the challenge for some people as well will be, and even myself, you know, leaving nursing, which is a great profession, a great financial stability, but leaving it to actually do what God has called me to do, not what my family wanted me to do, which is to be a healthcare provider. You know, I believe God has called me for more. And, you know, in that transition, it's going to be difficult. You may not have all the luxuries and all the abundance as what worldly people think, but the value of finding who you are, why you're here on the earth, it has even greater value, even though it may not be something monetary. So can you talk about that transitioning from your legal profession and going into your new journey and your new life as Mary Kay? How were you impacted by that with the influencing of people in your life, but as well as finding out who you truly are on the inside, regardless of people agreeing or disagreeing with your decision?
That's a great question, and it was tough. I'm not going to lie to you. It was tough and is tough. I think that my parents are still waiting for me to get out of the Mary Kay phase. and they don't understand necessarily, I think, the calling that I feel on my life. I think that, again, for me personally, the Mary Kay opportunity fell into my lap. But I have such a clear memory of that moment feeling like, oh, my gosh, this is what I'm supposed to do. And, for me, I can only call it the voice of God. I don't know what anybody else would call it. I'm having that sense of I know that I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to make an impact through this career opportunity and through this ministry. I truly see it as my ministry. I always kind of knew eventually I wanted to have a ministry connected to women. I just didn't think it would be in this format, and nobody would have thought it would be in this format for me, because I'm not necessarily like someone that's a diva or into makeup. And once I understood that this opportunity was more than about makeup, makeup was the vehicle that mm-hmm. we used to minister to women,
mm-hmm.
Then I got more clarity. But it was definitely a challenge in terms of a lot of opposition that is continuously present from friends and family that just don't get it, but a lot of support from people that do get it, a lot of affirmation from the women whose lives I have touched, whether they be my customers or consultants, that help me every day to remember that I'm doing the right thing. I'm so grateful for my church and my pastor. Mm-hmm. Being a part of Potential Church has been great because it's a very progressive church where they encourage people to be leaders and to find their true purpose. And so being a part of that church for four years has helped me kind of like listen to only, there are some times in your life where you always have to be open to counsel and open to what people are saying to you, but you also have to recognize that everybody doesn't hear what you hear. Everybody doesn't mm-hmm. know what you know. Everybody wasn't told what you were told. And mm-hmm. so it's okay. I think the biggest thing about growing up, the biggest thing about learning who you are, and this can happen at any age. I know 18-year-olds who have this, and I know 70-year-olds who don't have it, is understanding and being okay with the fact that everybody's not going to get what's for you, right? Mm-hmm. You have to decide when you're going to get married and who you're going to get married to, and that you're not going to settle or you are going to settle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide whether it's right for you to have kids or not have kids, right? It may not be for all women to have kids. And we have to decide where we're going to go with our career, what we're going to juggle, what we're going to do. Definitely listening to wise counsel, but understanding that at the end of the day, it's your life to live, and there's a purpose to the journey that you're walking that everybody else is not going to get.
Mm. So what is your strength? What keeps you? I know you talk about your church, you talk about the different relationships of people, but what is truly something that you cannot live without in order to be true to yourself and continue on this path and journey that you believe that God has chosen for you? What is this one core thing that every day you just like, I have to do this no matter what?
I would say I try to do something, and I think I got it. I can't remember where I got this from. Maybe a conference call I was on. I really try to spend an hour and a half on myself, you know, and that's 30 minutes of reading a certain type of growth and development book a day, 30 minutes of reading my Bible and listing out what I'm grateful for each day, and then 30 minutes of exercise. When I take that hour and a half, even if it requires waking up early, it helps me to be centered. It helps me to deal with whatever else happens throughout the day. It helps me to shore up my mind. So if things happen throughout the day that make me doubt myself or make me doubt what I'm doing, I remember, no, me and God were just together this morning, and it reminded me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Or I remember reading a great book. You know, I'm reading a book now called Today Matters by John Maxwell, which was a recommendation of my pastor, and just reminds me that, A, I think one of the great things about reading, if I could say one of the things I think everybody should do is read, like read all the time. You read 30 minutes a day, you'll be surprised at how many books you get through. But when you read different people's stories, you understand that everybody that has ever achieved anything went through opposition, went through having less money than they thought they should have, went through people not believing in their dream, and there's people that persevere and there's people who don't persevere, and the people who persevere are the ones that ultimately are the ones who books are written about in good ways, right? You can either read about people's failures or you can read about their successes, but a lot of the times perseverance is the difference. Smart perseverance, but perseverance.
Mm. Yeah, because I think the challenge is, just like you said, sometimes, especially for believers, sometimes God has told us to do something, you know, and I can think of, I think one of the stories in the Bible that stands out the most is Abraham, or even Jesus, but we'll just use Abraham since it will relate better for some people. You know, Abraham, he came from a wealthy family, but yet his family were not God followers, or, you know, obedient to what the Old Testament practices were. So God had come to lead all that he had in order to go on this journey, but he didn't know where he was going. And mm-hmm. he just trusted God to believe, okay, God, you tell me to leave all that I know, all my familiarity, all my my many God practices to come find this one God who I've just encountered, not really growing up knowing. You may have heard of him, and you want me to go on this journey and just pick up and walk.
Yeah.
Wonderfully yeah. around the land. And it's one of those things that, you know, I think that's the journey that many of us, you like you and myself, are on when we're leaving what our family, what is familiar, whether that's mm-hmm. profession, whether that's the mindset, whether that's the place. But then we know that there's a journey that we're going on. We can't really tell you the destination. And even if we know the destination, the journey, we can't explain it to you. We can't say, okay, I'm leaving this to go down this street, make a right at this street, make a left at that street, make a right, go straight 3/4 down the mile, this is where I'm going to be. You know, we really exactly. don't have that in mind, but it's just walking out on the journey, the faith and the trust that, you know, wherever we land, that will be the place we're supposed to land if we're true to ourselves. And
exactly.
the question I want to ask with that is, someone said that if you do not live out your purpose, two comments I'll make. Someone said, if you don't live out your purpose, you're a coward, one.
Mm-hmm.
Two, someone else said, and it was on a Christian radio station I was listening to, they said, if you do not do what you're destined to do or what your godly, God-given purpose is, not only are you affecting thousands of people, not only are you affecting 100,000 people, but you could be affecting millions of people. How does mm-hmm. that rest in you knowing that if you don't live out to your true path, millions of people's lives are waiting on you or be affected by you not living out your path? How would you answer that?
I think it's very true, and I certainly feel the burden of that regularly, I think. And I think when you're in a leadership position, sometimes you don't have the luxury to be tired. Sometimes you don't have the luxury to not feel like answering the phone because there are people whose destinies are tied to yours. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great responsibility, but I think it's a great thing too. You know, and I think that if your purpose doesn't involve other people, my pastor often says one is too small a number for greatness. So mm-hmm. you really have to look at and examine, could that possibly be the right thing for you if it doesn't involve taking other people along to greatness with you? That is something that I constantly feel. And so I think about that on the days that are tough and on the days that are hard. Like, no, you know, in my industry, for example, there are women out there who, if I quit now, there are women out there who will never hear about the Mary Kay business opportunity because I was supposed to tell them. There are women who won't ever have this product on their skin because I was supposed to tell them. You know, whatever it is, or whose lives are not going to be touched. You know, my faith has been strengthened through my business. Whose faith is not going to be strengthened by being a part of this. Because I was supposed to tell them. And so I think that it is a true, I think when you have that knowledge that you're steeped in your purpose, and God definitely gives you little course corrections on the way.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you, I think, kind of stay connected and you know you're in your purpose, it is very true that if you walk away from that, you are affecting a lot of people. And mm-hmm. so the challenge, I think, is to find it, right? And to cling to what you know is correct, even on the days that it's tough. T.D. Jakes, I love T.D. Jakes, and he put something that I posted on my Instagram the other day, and he had a quote. He said, "Don't get down in the pit and start doubting what God showed you. Your dream is just as real in the pit as it is in the palace." And that referring to the story of Joseph, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was going to be the head of Egypt, but he went through a lot of pits and a lot of things before what was revealed to him when he was a young boy actually came to fruition when he was an older man. And so, you know, I think we all go through those pit and palace moments where we're like, okay, I think I'm supposed to be in the palace one day, but right now, since I'm in the pit, this does not seem likely to happen. And so I think, you know, I think it's important to cling to those visions because if Joseph had strayed any point along the way, he would have affected hundreds and thousands and millions of people that we talked about because he was the one that saved Egypt from famine in that time, you know?
And even not even that, the impact that would have on generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's something to keep in mind. And, you know, the journey of Mary Kay as it is your ministry, because when we met, like you said, we met at our alum reception for the Black students that graduated from that great institution, that it was something that I kept thinking about, and I was like, I don't know, that's not me. I mean, you know, of course, I like to, you know, have first impressions and look good, but as far as being in that business, it wasn't. But one thing that imparted on me was that the organization, one, was Christian-based. Mm-hmm. And the strength that I saw in the women involved in it or coming out to the events or even connected to it, I said, you know, there's something here. And periodically I'll see, like, pink cars, or Mary Kay would come up somewhere, and I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what this means. I'm not really feeling it. But, you know, let me – and the more that we built our relationship and you supporting me with the 360 Evolution Academy and just seeing – and just hearing your story, how you're leaving a profession or a career path that I'm seeking to do – and you're leaving it to do this business, I said, wow, there must be something here. But, you know, a woman of God who, you know, you're very intelligent, you have so much going for you in your professional career, but you're leaving it to do more. And I truly believe that that ministry that you're in is connected to, it, you know, Mary Kay really is a vessel. It's not really your goal. Your goal is mm-hmm. to impact the lives of women. So Mary Kay is just the instrument that's being used in order to impact women's lives, because you're teaching them, and this is what I say for my platform with Mary Kay, that I'm helping you connect your inner beauty with your outer beauty, and then you're really a truly beautiful woman. And so I commend you, because that's a lot of courage. That's bravery. That took strength for you to step out and do what you're doing. So, you know, I applaud you all the way, and I call out my audience as well to challenge them to, you know, to take up a challenge as well and use your story as a testimony, use your story as a witness that It may be hurtful and painful to find who you truly are, but at the end, when you finally get there, you finally realize what that journey is about. It is the best feeling in the world, because you know you are impacting a global market. You're impacting a global world. So, in 10 seconds, what is the best advice you'll give any woman who is on this transition or thinking about transition or feels like she's in transition, going from one stage to the next of life and finding her purpose?
Pray hard and read a lot. Thank you for having me on.
Well, Ms. Sarah Fontaine, it's always a pleasure as a fellow alum of the University of Miami and, of course, as my independent sales director of Mary Kay. I am just so excited to have you on the show. I thank you so much for being transparent and parting in the lives of women, and hopefully even the men listening will be encouraged as well to live out their true path and purpose. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. My name is Sarah Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure, every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. And if you would like more information about this Mary Kay, please visit our Facebook page. Sarah has a Facebook page, and I also will put that on our platform so you can click on her Facebook page and come out to our events on Saturdays. Every Saturday at 10:45 a.m., we have an event where you can a free pampering event, which Ms. Fontaine is a part of. And you'll be able to test out the products and definitely buy Mary Kay. We're so delighted to have you. Remember, every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, in the greatest country of the world, the wonderful United States of America. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.